Okay, good morning. Chanukah Sameach. So, as Rabbi Turchiner mentioned, our goal today is to learn a little bit about Chanukah from different perspectives. We sat down in a meeting, and we each took a different discipline, a different area of study. So I took history. So we're going to start with a little bit of a history lesson about Chanukah. So the title of this year is A Secular Zionist Chanukah. Now, what do I mean by a secular Zionist Chanukah? So if we think about our holidays throughout the year, most of our holidays are very, very religious in nature. I mean, their message, their theme is primarily what we would think in classical terms religious. If you think about Yom Kippur, it's about atonement, it's about, and we celebrate it by fasting, we celebrate it by davening. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. Again, we daven, we praise God. Pesach, we talk about God saving us, and it's full of ritual law. But Chanukah, in addition to the obvious religious messages, is a very nationalist holiday by nature. And if you look, for example, I just gave you the summary in number one from the Rambam. The Rambam, in his description of Chanukah, writes as follows. He says, "B'bayit sheni, in this time of the Second Temple, kishamalchu Yavan, when the Greeks, really the Seleucid Empire, was in charge, Gazuk Zerod al Yisrael. So they decrees against the Jewish people, Vatlu Datam, and they nullified their religion, Vilonich Otam Lasok Betara b'mitzvot. They didn't allow them to learn Torah, they didn't allow them to perform the commandments, Upashtu Yadam b'mimonam, but they also took their money, Vivnei Tehem. And they raped the women, and they came into the Beit HaMikdash, and they made it impure, and the Jews were very distressed because of them, and they pressured them, a great pressure, until God had mercy, and had mercy on them and saved them. The Gavru b'nei Hashmonai and the Hasmoneans, the Maccabim, overpowered them. Hakohanim Magdolim v'Argum, and they killed them. Boshiu Yisrael mi'Adam, and they saved the Jews from their hands. V'hamidu Melech min Hakohanim, and they appointed a king who was also a Kohen. V'chazram Malchut liYisrael yeter matayim shana ad Churban Hasheni, and sovereignty was returned to the Jewish people for 200 years. And while there are clearly religious overtones to the holiday, God was the one who saved us, and the reason that we rose up against the Seleucid Empire was because they had decreed against us, and if you read the book of Maccabees, you'll see that this is true. And as I put here, we'll read a passage in a moment. Matisyahu responds to the oppression because of the religious dimension. And it's clearly a religious holiday as well. Part of the celebration, as the Rambam notes, is the nationalistic part of it, that we celebrate that Chazram Malchut liYisrael, Yeter Matayim Shana, that there was a return of sovereignty. And it was because of that second aspect, that nationalist aspect, that when in the late 19th century, in about the 1880s, when the Zionist movement really started to coalesce, and they were looking for holidays, they were looking for Jewish symbols they could use to place their movement in the context of Jewish history, Chanukah was the natural holiday they chose. Because it's easier on Chanukah to downplay the uniquely religious elements, and easier, therefore, to play up the nationalist elements. So if you're starting a new nationalist movement, the movement of Zionism, which is pushing to return Jews to their homeland, to push for sovereignty, so Chanukah was the natural address for that mission. Admittedly, and as we'll see, it wasn't so easy, because while it's true that there is a nationalist element to it, and if, let's say, you're a religious Zionist, and believe in nationalism coupled with commitment to God. You believe that the reason you want to conquer the land of Israel and set up a sovereign state is because God wants you to do it. Hanukkah is your perfect holiday because it has both elements. If you're a secular Zionist and you want to downplay the religious elements, you don't believe in God or you don't believe in religion, so trying to reappropriate Hanukkah is not quite as easy. So what we're going to do this morning is try to briefly, and it's a long story sheet, we're not reading through everything. What I've done is cut out key pieces from an article by Eliezer Dan Yechia, who wrote the classic article, which if you Google online, this is still the classic article. It was written in the 80s, but it's still the classic article. And explore the struggles that secular Zionists had when they tried to create a nationalist holiday out of Hanukkah. Just to highlight the complexity, I want to just read one passage from Maccabees. So if you look in number 2, this is from the first book of Maccabees. Now, the books of Maccabees, Maccabees 1 and 2, are part of the Apocrypha, part of the books that did not make it into Tanakh. We do not have them in the original Hebrew. They were originally written in Hebrew, but we've many years ago, hundreds, thousands of years ago, lost the original. All we have is the translation into Greek, so, or Latin. I don't remember which one we have, so we're going to read from the English, because whether it's Greek or Latin, I don't know the original. I don't understand it. So we're reading, this is from the King James translation of Maccabees 1, chapter 2. So, Mattathias answered and said in a loud voice, the governor had just tried to get Matisyahu, who is the religious representative, to give in to worship the gods of the Greeks, which obviously has both religious and political overtones. And his response is, he said in a loud voice, even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to obey his commandments, every one of them abandoning the religion of their fathers, I and my sons and my brothers will continue to live by the covenant of our fathers. For be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. We will not obey the king's swords by turning aside from our religion to the right hand or to the left. When he finished speaking these words, a Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifice on the altar in Modiin, according to the king's command. When Mattathias saw it, he burned with zeal, and his heart was stirred. He gave vent to his righteous anger and ran and killed him on the altar. At the same time, he killed the king's officer who was forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. Thus he burned with zeal for the law, just as Pinchas did against Zimri, son of Salu. Then Mattathias cried out in the town with a loud voice, saying, let everyone who is zealous for the law and supports the covenant come with me. So Matisyahu, while clearly a nationalist leader, is a religious nationalist leader. Even more so, this climactic moment that we all have heard of, this mythical moment, of in Modiin, where Mattathias starts the rebellion. Not only does he start the rebellion, he starts the rebellion not by killing a Greek, but by killing a Jew who's a traitor, a Jew who's given in to the culture. So the fact that Hanukkah was not just religious plus nationalist, but was in fact religious nationalist to the point where the defining moment that started the war was Mattathias killing a Jew who had embraced the culture of the Greeks. This element made it particularly difficult. Because on the one hand, yes, the secular Zionists wanted to embrace the nationalist parts of Hanukkah. On the other hand, they had to deal with the fact that Hanukkah was not just also religious, but the nationalist element of it started by killing the Jews who had given up on Jewish culture and embraced Greek culture, which was problematic for many of the secular Zionists who not only embraced secular culture, but embraced specifically Greek culture, the Hellenists. So like I said, what we're going to try to do briefly is try to see how the early secular Zionists, primarily from the 1880s to 1948, dealt with this. How did they deal with Hanukkah, which on the one hand was the nationalist holiday they could hang their hats on the other hand, has such religious overtones to the point where part of the story of Hanukkah is civil war against those elements that the secular Zionists themselves in many ways represented. Okay, so that brings us to our sources. If you look at number 3, this is from the beginning of an article by Elazar ben Dachia, Hanukkah and the Myth of the Maccabees in Zionist Ideology and in Israeli Society. And everything on this page until the end are quotes from the article, incorporating quotes from early Zionists. So he writes as follows. Hanukkah was one of various Jewish traditional festivals which the Zionist movement employed to assert the continuity of Jewish identity and the national right of the Jews to the land of Israel. However, although the secular Zionist groups continued to celebrate the traditional religious festivals, they changed the manner of the celebration and also reinterpreted some of the festivals with the aim of replacing the original religious content with new national or social myths. Right, Zionists didn't want to present themselves as a new movement. They wanted to place themselves in Jewish history. So, Jewish history is very, very symbolically oriented. We have holiday after holiday, which commemorate parts of our history. And if you want to place yourself in Jewish history, you have to celebrate the holidays in some way or another. But obviously, secular Zionists had to downplay the elements that were against the secular component of their Zionism. So he continues, the leaders of the Zionist labor movement in particular grasped the importance of the political potential of Jewish festivals. And this is a great quote. One of them, Burl Katznelson, commented, "The Jewish year is filled with days which for sheer depth have no parallel in other peoples. Is it in the interest of the Jewish workers' movement to squander these latent forces?" He said, Judaism is a religion of symbols. Every new movement needs symbols to galvanize their forces, to galvanize their movement. It's that Judaim is replete with Yomim Tovim, with holidays throughout the year, and everything we know, we do symbols all the time. You think about Rosh Hashanah, not only is it a holiday, we spend 20 minutes at the beginning of our meal with apples and honey and dates and carrots, right? We have symbols. So if you want to use symbols, you want to find symbols, the equivalent of a flag. So Judaism is full of them. So the secular Zionists were not about to give up on the Yomim Tovim. But on the other hand, as Don Yechia continues, the approach to the traditional festivals was selective. When they chose the holidays that they were going to choose, they had to be careful. And the principle of selection applied both to the festival itself and to its attendant ceremonies and customs. A guiding principle was the degree to which the traditional festival could be imbued with a national or social aura and serve to reinforce a political myth. The renewed importance given to Hanukkah was apparent from the early beginnings of the organized Zionist movement in 1882. Zionist clubs and associations were named after the Hasmoneans or the Maccabees, while Hanukkah was chosen as the preferred time to hold conferences and parties. It was also a popular theme of nationalist sermons and speeches. It must be remembered that Theodor Herzl concluded his book, The Jewish State, with the words, "The Maccabees shall rise again." In 1910, Yitzhak Ben Tzvi, who later became the second president of Israel, depicted the Hasmoneans as simple peasants who liberated their people from foreign rule, as well as from exploitation by Jewish priests and capitalists who enriched themselves at the expense of the people. The vast majority of the Jewish community of Palestine continued to regard Hanukkah as chiefly expressing the values associated with the struggles for national liberation. This perception was shared by the two rival movements, which competed for hegemony in the Zionist movement. So Don Dachia tells us, yes. He's an academic from Israel. Azar Dan Yechia.
And where was this printed?
This was, in which journal was it? I got it off Google Scholar. It was, I think, the Israel Publication Society or something. You're checking on your phone.
It basically is going through the history of how this came to be.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Exactly. Right. This is just, he's a scholar and he put together this article tracing the history of how secular Zionists dealt with Hanukkah. So as he says, the early Zionists wanted to use the symbols of Judaism so that they could place their movement in Jewish history, which makes sense. The state of Israel being a sovereign nation in Israel is part of Jewish history. You open up Tanakh, that is a central part of our story. But on the other hand, they were secular, so they had to be careful and different holidays lend themselves more or less to nationalist visions. Hanukkah, as we noted, while it has religious overtones, while the battle started against other Jews who embrace secular culture, or not secular actually, right, pagan culture, the Hellenist culture, still, with all that taken into account, if you're looking for a holiday which is nationalist, where you can have an easier time at downplaying the religious elements, Hanukkah is it. And therefore, when they were looking for a holiday which they could use, Hanukkah became their flagship, so to speak, holiday. Right? Everyone became the Hasmoneans. Everyone became the Maccabim. To this day, the sports, right, the sports league, the right, the sport, the sports games are right, right, exactly. Right, my sister's wedding was at the hotel where they have the games, Kfar Maccabiya. Right, to this day, the words Maccabim Chashmonaim bring to mind images of power, of force, of nationalism, of Jews taking sovereignty. And as Yitzchak Ben Tzvi writes, specifically when they're thinking about trying to get a Jewish state against the power of the Ottomans and later the British, it's important that these Jews who were basically guerrilla fighters facing superpowers were able to rise up and defeat the people who didn't want them to have power. This was an image that they wanted to take. But each movement, as it took it, needed to spin the Chashmonaim to fit their brand of Zionism. So, there were two leading movements at the beginning of the Zionist movement in the 1880s. There were the revisionists, and there was labor. So if you look at four, the revisionists, people like Jabotinsky, their image of what Zionism was primarily power. It was about Jewish power. And therefore, if you look in four, the revisionists glorified the zealots who revolted against the Romans, which, parenthetically, Rabbinic Judaism doesn't like at all, right? All of our stories in the Gemara that we can learn on Tisha B'Av are about how the rabbis didn't like the zealots. But the revisionists love the zealots, right? They love the people who fought the Romans, even if it meant burning down the storehouses in Jerusalem to get everybody else to fight, right? They wanted Jewish power. And they loved Bar Kokhba, right? As well as Bar Kokhba's fighters who rebelled against the Romans in 132 to 35 CE. Bar Kokhba's last stronghold was Beitar. And this was also the name of the youth movement of the revisionists, right? They made no secret about it. The last stronghold of Bar Kokhba was Beitar. That became their movement. Okay, so what did they do with Hanukkah? Right, they believe in Jewish power. So what elements of Hanukkah are they going to elevate? Predictably, right? They're going to talk about the Hasmonean power, but they have a problem. Because who else represents power?
Greece,
right? Greece, more than anything, right? Especially that period, besides for being known for being great philosophers, they're also known for the Olympics, right? The Olympics, the celebration of raw human power, right? The original Olympics, as we know, were performed in the nude because it was a celebration of human power, of human, right, of pride in the body, right? To this day, in certain universities, they have a commemoration of this, and I think it's Yale, to this day, has one day where there is a commemoration of the Olympics as they happened then. So what did they do? So here, within the revisionists, you have two camps. If you look down here, he says, the revisionists saw themselves as disciples of the renowned Zionist leader Max Nordau. So one of their leaders was Max Nordau. Now, in an article published in 1900, Nordau urged the cultivation of a muscular Jewry, which he associated especially with Bar Kokhba, who he described as a hero who never knew defeat, who embodied the Jewry that is steeled in war and is enamored of weapons. Nordau also lauded as representative a muscular Jewry, the young Hellenizing Jews who took part in wrestling competitions who were among the bitter enemies of the Hasmoneans. So some of the revisionists were so enamored with the Jewish power that they couldn't even swallow celebrating Hanukkah with the Hasmoneans, because the Hasmoneans may have been guerrilla fighters and powerful, but they were nothing compared to the Hellenizing Jews who were part of the culture of the Olympics. So some of the revisionists said, you know what, forget it. I can't even talk about Hanukkah. We are the students of, not the Maccabees, not the Hasmoneans, but of the Hellenizing Jews who Mattathias killed there in Modin. But, and that in general, that was their perspective, right? On the one hand, they would want to celebrate the Hasmoneans, but they really couldn't because they identified more with the Hellenizers. And if you look, Chernikovsky, a great admirer of Hellenistic culture, bluntly blamed the Maccabees because they had sought to eradicate Hellenism. In his 1926 poem, this is the bolded part, "My melody," the poet rhetorically asks, "Who are you? My blood that seethes within me, the blood of the Maccabees?" And replies, "No, the blood of the conquerors of Canaan is my blood." Right? I don't want the Maccabees. Joshua, great. Bar Kokhba, great. I don't want anything to do with the Maccabees. Zev Jabotinsky in 1905 declared, though he would later backtrack from this, but in 1905 declared, "Mankind will be eternally grateful to Hellenism, which was first to point to sports as the best educational means for creating by prolonged training and willpower a type imbued with spiritual beauty and courage. The Hellenes were the first to establish special gymnasia for that purpose." So the revisionists, while they could have celebrated the guerrilla warfare of the Hasmoneans, in the end of the day, they were so into Jewish power, into human power, and they were so secular that at least at the beginning part of the movement, they decided the best thing they could do with Hanukkah is get rid of it and focus not on the Jews who are the heroes of Hanukkah, but the Jews they fought against, the Hellenized Jews, and celebrate our quote-unquote tradition with the Jews that ended up being killed in Hanukkah. So that was, you know, that's one possibility, right? To reject their identification with Hanukkah. Later they would soften on this, and Jabotinsky would end up celebrating the Hasmoneans. But at least at the beginning, they didn't. If you look in 5, labor. "Although other Zionist groups also admired the fighters against the Romans, they gave pride of place to the Hasmoneans, who had waged war only after grave acts of provocation of suppression by the Greek rulers." Labor, in general, was much more reactionary, right? Meaning much more, they waited to be provoked than the revisionists, right? They weren't into power for the sake of power. They waited, and they believed in using power when necessary, but using other means as well. Right, they had what is called a defensive ethos. Right, they didn't believe just that Jews should be on the offensive, should be representing power. They believed that we should use power if necessary, but primarily we should find other ways of asserting our independence. Therefore, for them, the Hashmonaim were perfect, because the Hashmonaim didn't start fighting in the beginning. They waited until the provocation was so bad, and then they reacted, which is basically the theory of labor, that we use power if necessary, but power is not important in and of itself. It's important if there's no other choice of responding to provocation, and therefore the revisionists celebrated the Hellenized Jews, and labor celebrated the Hasmoneans. If you look in 6, Dan Dechia describes the differences. The ideological differences between the revisionists and labor also became apparent in their differing concepts of the Hanukkah festival and of the Hasmonean revolt. The revisionists saw their revolt as exhibiting heroism in battle and self-sacrifice for the cause of national independence, while their political rivals interpreted that revolt as a popular uprising of peace-loving peasants who had to defend themselves against their cruel oppressors. He notes that even later on, right, because later on, the revisionists would realize it was a mistake to give up on Hanukkah, right? And they too would celebrate the Hasmoneans and the Maccabees for their exhibiting Jewish power. But even then, they would divide along party lines. The revisionists would celebrate the heroism in battle and the self-sacrifice, right? Because they believed that was their modus operandi, was to be violent revolutionaries. Labor, who believed in being peaceful, unless necessary, focused on the Hasmoneans being peasants who had suffered for many years under the Greeks until it was just too much and they had no choice, but as we said before, represented defensive ethos. So if we look at the first generation of the secular Zionists, labor, celebrate the Hasmoneans, view them as people who only used power when necessary, but then used it, and that's their image, that they're going to try every means for Zionism without using violence, but if it's necessary, they're ready to do that like the Hasmoneans. The revisionists early didn't like the Hasmoneans because the Hasmoneans weren't quite as power-obsessed as the Hellenized Jews. So at the beginning, they rejected using Hanukkah as an image and focus on the Hellenizers. Later on, realized it was a mistake to forget the image of the Hasmoneans. And they reincorporated it. But even when they did, they didn't focus on them as peace-loving people who use power as a last option. They focused on the Hasmonean as people who use force because that's a great thing to do. The holdouts, the people who never came around to loving the Hasmoneans, were the Canaanites. The Canaanites was an extreme group of avidly secular Zionists. If you look in 7, the Canaanites, by virtue of the fact they call themselves Canaanites, right? You can tell they're very secular here, right? They depicted the Hasmoneans not as Hebrew fighters in a campaign for national liberation against foreign rule, but as Jewish religious fanatics who were primarily fighting their internal adversaries, the Hellenizers. Although that struggle occurred in Eretz Israel, the Hasmoneans did not fight for the cause of a political territorial nation, but for that of a dispersed and self-enclosed religious sect. Adiah Charon, the Canaanite historian, who claimed that the only original purpose of the War of the Hasmoneans was to secure independence of worship in Jerusalem and its environs with freedom to take revenge on the wicked, the Hellenizers among them, no national liberation was involved. The Canaanites said, you know what? I don't like what the revisionists are doing. I don't like what labor is doing. Let's be honest. The Hashmoneim were religious fighters, and we're not religious. We don't believe in this, and therefore, I want nothing to do with them. They just took it as it was. They said the Hasmoneim just wanted to relight the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. I couldn't care less about the Beit HaMikdash. So forget it. The Hasmoneim had nothing to do with me. Okay. In 8, I put, you can read this later, the problem. But we've already discussed the problem. Right? If we now just summarize what we've seen so far. On the one hand, Hanukkah is a nationalist holiday. On the other hand, it's clearly a religious nationalist holiday where we fought against religious oppression. We fought against other Jews who were embracing Greek culture. So what do you do if you want to come up with images? So like we said, some people downplay the religious elements and celebrate the Hasmoneans, like labor. They said the Hasmoneans were basically people who used power when necessary. We're going to be just like them. And they just sort of forgot about the fact that they were religious. Revisionists started off by saying we really like the Hellenistic culture, so we're not going to identify with the Hasmoneans, and came around later on. But then they said Hanukkah is about not defensive people, but people who are willing to go on the offense, and came around to using the Maccabees as that symbol. In order to do that, both the labor and revisionist had to downplay the importance of the religious elements. The Canaanites, right, were not willing to downplay the religious elements, but since they themselves were anti-religious, they just rejected Hanukkah wholesale. Okay, in 9, I give you, I won't read it inside, the image that they used, once they had come to the point, not like the Canaanites, where they wanted to use Hanukkah to represent Jewish power, either the way the revisionists did or labor did, right? Either as defensive or offensive fighters, they came up with a nice, catchy way of thinking about it, and they said, the religious people celebrate on Lag BaOmer in Meron, and we celebrate in Hanukkah, on Hanukkah in Modi'in. Right? They said there are two images of Judaism. There's the Judaism of religious people, which is davening by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's grave in Meron, and then there's the image of us secular Zionists, where we celebrate power, And therefore, we start with that defining moment in Modin, and that was their image. And they viewed, they appropriated the image of Hanukkah and said, we are the Hasmoneans. We are those who believe in national sovereignty and celebrated being the heirs to what they called Modin. And in 10, I give you some of the things that they did. Right, therefore, Hanukkah became the time where they would have public candle lightings to celebrate the War of Freedom. That's when they had the marathon in Modin. Right, they had them to represent Jewish power. Right, sports, ironically, but in Modin, in the home of the Chashmonaim, they also engaged in national reflection. They had the Jewish National Fund would have its fundraising on Hanukkah. Right, Hanukkah became the time that they would use for the symbolic events of Zionism. And you can read it inside, but that's what I gave you in 10. In order, though, to make it clear that they were reappropriating Hanukkah and not celebrating as it had been celebrated for 2,000 years, they took Hanukkah and, as we said, downplayed the religious elements. But this became the most clear, and I'll give you two songs where they made it clear their vision of the world. So the first is very famous, which is Mi Yimalel Gvurot Yisrael Otam Mi Yivne Hein Bechaldor Yakum Agibor Goel Ha'am Shema Bayamim Ha'em Bazman Hazeh Makab Mi Moshiach Ufodeh Uviyamenu Kol Am Yisrael Yitached Yakum V'Yigael. Right? Famous song, right? Except what does it mean? Who will praise Israel, which is taking a pasuk in Tehillim? The original is Mi Yimalel Gvurot Hashem. Mi Yimalel Gvurot Hashem. In the original, it's God. And what did they do? No. God has nothing to do with this. Mi Yimalel Gvurot Yisrael. Otam Mi Yimna. Right? Hein Becholdor Yakum HaGibor Goel Am. Who is the Gibor Goel? Right? Who is the great Redeemer of Israel? God. And for them, it is human beings. Right? Shema Bayamim Ahem Bezman Hazeh. The next word should be that there was a nes. Right? Makabim Moshiach Ufodeh. Not God, but Makabim, redeem us. So they took the songs, they made it clear. We believe in Hanukkah, but only as reinterpreted through the secular Zionist image. Aaron Zev wrote a particularly powerful poem, which makes it clear. I gave it to you in the second part of 11 here. It's very simple. Neis lo karalanu. There was no miracle. Pach shemen lo matzanu, we found no oil. Le'emek halachnu hehera alinu. We went into the valleys and we went up to the mountains. Right? They took Hanukkah and they said, forget the image of the pach shemen. We don't want it. That's not who we are. Now, if you look in 12, I won't read it inside, but all of this ended. The celebration of Hanukkah really ended in 1948 because Ben-Gurion felt that Zionism shouldn't look to the era of the Maccabees. He really liked Tanakh. He really liked Tanakh. And therefore, in 1948, Hanukkah is still important, but this obsession with Hanukkah as using it or reinterpreting, reappropriating, it really ended with the advent of the state when Ben-Gurion pushed that our heroes should no longer be just the Maccabees, but should be Yoshua, should be the people who originally conquered the land. Okay, so just to summarize what we've seen, and I'll say the last two things outside. Hanukkah, as we said, is clearly religious nationalist. But it has that nationalist element. As the Rambam himself says, the reason we celebrate is because we got back sovereignty for 200 years. So since any movement wants to find symbols to place themselves in a broader history, to help galvanize their troops, as it were, Hanukkah became an easy one. Some of them, admittedly, like the Canaanites or the early revisionists, realized that if you want to found secular Zionism, Hanukkah is the wrong address and rejected it. But later on, the revisionists and labor said, no, why give up on it? Right? We'll take the elements we like and we'll discard the elements we don't like. And therefore, they played up the nationalist elements either as offensive warriors for the revisionists or defensive warriors for labor, and explicitly wrote songs to emphasize the fact that we're discarding the religious elements. We're using Hanukkah, but it's not the Hanukkah of your grandparents. It's Hanukkah, right, with the new secular Zionist spirit. Once the state came around, they found new heroes. But at least for that 60 years, from the 1880s through 1948, this was the symbol they used. But who opposed it? So some of the secular thinkers opposed it because they realized it wasn't true to it. And ironically, as he notes in 13, who else did? The Haredim also denied it because they believed, like the Canaanites, that Hanukkah was a celebration not of Jewish power, but of rededicating the Beit HaMikdash and having nothing to do with power. Right? So ironically, the Haredim and the radical Canaanites believed the same thing. The only question was, do we embrace the message of a Hanukkah, which isn't about nationalism, is about rededicating the Beit HaMikdash, or do we reject it? And I'll end just with this. Since then, right, parts of this celebration of Hanukkah have been kept. Much of it has been replaced with other images, especially Yom HaTzmaut. But as Dan Lechia notes at the end of his article, the one group that seems to have kept Hanukkah as their primary holiday is ironically the religious Zionists. Because the religious Zionists who believe both in the parochialism of the Haredim plus political power, Hanukkah legitimately acts as a symbol for them. And I gave a share on this last year, I won't go into it now. For that reason, not only do we celebrate Hanukkah as a pre-Zionist holiday, when the early poskim of the state tried to find a model to justify setting up a holiday of Yom HaAtzmaut, they said Yom HaAtzmaut is really just another Hanukkah. Because in many ways, if you're religious Zionist, none of these struggles are relevant, and you can legitimately say Hanukkah is the holiday of religious Zionism, as we've seen from the trouble that the secular Zionists had in co-opting the message of Hanukkah for themselves.